Dying, Christ destroyed our death. Rising, Christ restored our life. Christ will come again in glory. As in baptism, Rosie put on Christ. So in Christ, may Rosie be clothed with glory. Here and now, dear friends, we are God's children. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Those who have this hope purify themselves as Christ is pure. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of hell and death. Because I live, you shall live also. Friends, we have gathered here to praise God and to witness to our faith as we celebrate the life of Rosie Meredith. We come together in grief, acknowledge our human loss. May God grant us grace that in pain we might find comfort, in sorrow hope, in death resurrection. Let us pray. Eternal God, we praise you for the great company of all those who have finished their course in faith and now rest from their labor. We praise you for those dear to us whom we name in our hearts before you. Especially, we praise you for Rosie, whom you have graciously received into your presence. To all of these, grant your peace. Let perpetual light shine upon them and help us so to believe where we have not seen, that your presence may lead us through our years and bring us at last with them into the joy of your home, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah chapter 55. All of you who are thirsty, come to the water. Whoever has no money, come, buy food and eat. Without money, at no cost, buy wine and milk. Why spend money for what isn't food and your earnings for what doesn't satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Enjoy the riches of feast. Listen and come to me. Listen and you will live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful loyalty to David. Seek the Lord when he can still be found. Call him while he is yet near. Let the wicked abandon their ways and the sinful their schemes. Let them return to the Lord so that he may have mercy on them. To our God, because he is generous with forgiveness. My plans aren't your plans, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my plans than your plans. Just as the rain and the snow came down from the sky and don't return there without watering the earth, making it conceive and yield plants and providing seed to the sower and food to the eater, so is my word that comes from my mouth. It does not return to me empty. Instead, it does what I want and accomplishes what I intend. Yes, you will go out with celebration, and you will be brought back in peace. Even the mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. All the trees of the fields will clap their hands. In place of the thorn, the cypress will grow. In place of the nettle, the myrtle will grow. This will attest to the Lord's statue, an enduring reminder that won't be removed. Now hear the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet near to the heart of God, a place where we our sinner meet, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee near to the heart of God.
Our New Testament reading is from Revelations. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the heavenly city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among the mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." And then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." Our gospel lesson comes from John chapter 14. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will take you there myself, so that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to the place where I am going. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Psalm 23 is one of the most treasured scriptures. Whenever I ask a family member if they have any favorite scripture they want read, I think every single time Psalm 23 has been mentioned. And it is among the most familiar, and even people that aren't religious or even people that aren't very knowledgeable have recognized those words. They are among the most comforting and often being quoted in times of trouble or distress, and almost always being read when we gather in our sanctuary for a funeral. There are many images in this psalm which hold particular meaning. One image from the verse, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." It would be so wonderful if God was simply promised to us that we would never go through difficult times. But we do go through difficult times, and some more worse than others. And God constantly warns us of these dangers and difficulties in his word. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." The Bible constantly tells that there will be difficult times in life. And Psalm 23 voices such a warning. It does not say God will keep you from danger, but rather it describes that there will come times, and they come for all of us, when we feel like we are walking through a dark and dangerous valley, a valley of the shadow of death. But the word of God does make it very clear is that we move through such times because God is with us. God is there to comfort us and to sustain us. "As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff comfort me." God is frequently described in the Bible as being like a shepherd who cares for and tends to his flock of sheep. The rod is used by a shepherd to ward off evil and to direct the sheep as they walk. The staff with its large crook at the end serves to support the sheep's body when it crosses a dangerous chasm. The Lord protects, guides, and supports us. He does not send us through the dark valley with a cheery promise to meet us again on the other side. He goes with us every step of the way. There were days when Rosie could have certainly have talked about how she has been through a valley of the shadow of death. But she was never alone. Not only did she have her family, she had the Holy Spirit of God by her side, like a shepherd who kept close watch over her. A second image in the 23rd Psalm to which I would call your attention is this: "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." A veteran of World War I had some fascinating stories to tell, and one of them was about a battle that had taken place in Europe. He was an American, but he had actually enlisted with the British Army, so he had been fighting the war for quite some time before most Americans. He was fighting out on a stretch of land for days on end. Both armies seemed to be at a stalemate. It so happened that the battle continued into Christmas Day. The fighting stopped, and all was quiet. Late in the morning, the German officers raised a white flag and moved toward the British lines, and under a flag of truce, conferred with the British officers. After an extended conversation, the two armies agreed to pool some of their food together for a Christmas meal. The soldiers of each side joined together and ate together and sang a few songs. Though they might have had different words, they had common tunes. And if you know anything about that period of history, you might remember that these armies disliked each other immensely. Americans, especially, did not like the Germans. But there they were, eating together at a table, or at least at the ground, in the presence of an enemy. The veteran said after that it was hard to go back to fighting the next day because they had shared food together. They sang songs of Christ's birth together. He said he had a glimpse of a time in the future when all of them would be together in heaven and all their earthly conflicts would disappear. The third image in the 23rd Psalm, which I want to lift up to you today, is this. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The end of our journey through life on earth is to be with God forever. In baptism, we are made members of the household of God, and our destiny is to secure that through faith. Sometimes the journey is filled with joy, and sometimes it's sad and lonely. Yet the promise that God has already given us, eternal life with Him, sustains us in our journey and gives substance to our hope. The goodness and mercy that follows us are not something we achieve for ourselves. They are given to us by the sheer grace of God. Were it not for God's forgiveness, our sins and mistakes would quickly disqualify us for eternal life. But with God, there is goodness and mercy, supremely evident in His Son, Jesus Christ. Our life on earth and our life with God forever are the products of His grace alone. This is something for all of us to remember as we look now in the days ahead. The grief we feel and the emotions that go with that grief can tempt us to unbelief and irrational behavior and deep and dark sadness. Nevertheless, the goodness and mercy of God will follow us all the days of our lives, giving us broad latitude to work through our grief and sorrow and forgiveness for our mistakes. For it is not God's will that anyone living or dead be separated from Him forever. We have gathered here today not only to grieve the death of Rosie, but to give thanks to God for her life among us, and now for her eternal life with God. We have gathered not only to mourn over how different lives will be without her, but to give thanks to God for how full life was with her in our midst. We have gathered not only to consider the shortness and uncertainty of life in the church on earth, but to give thanks to God for His gift of eternal life in the church in heaven. For the church on earth and the church in heaven are not two churches, but one church. Even as the Lord who calls us into being is one Lord, the Good Shepherd of all the saints, both living and dead. And we all know Rosie is right there with Him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh Lord, my God, when awesome wonder. Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art.
Rosie Meredith, 97, of Alpha, Illinois, died Sunday, April 10, 2022, at Mercer Manor in Aledo. Rosie was born December 12, 1924, in Ohio Grove Township, Mercer County, to George and Nellie Johnson Chandler. She attended the Duck Creek Schools, graduated from Seton High School in 1942, and attended Monmouth College. She married Harold Eugene Meredith September 12, 1943, in Aledo. He died January 15, 2009. Rosie was a homemaker and assisted her husband in the operation of their farm, custom combining and bulldozing business, and their trucking company. She was a member of the Alpha United Methodist Church. She enjoyed baking pies and hosted a sewing club in her home, dedicated to providing lap robes, and quilts for area nursing homes. She was a former 4-H leader, den mother, Sunday school teacher for many years. Rosie is survived by one daughter, Miriam and Robert Green of Lynn Center, three sons, Jean and Renee Meredith of Aledo, Jerry and Cynthia Meredith of Denison, Texas, Gary and Sarah Meredith of Carbondale, Illinois, 20 grandchildren, 23 great-grandchildren, and 8 great-great-grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her parents, husband, one son, Ronald, one daughter, Sandra, two grandsons, two sisters, and three brothers. Whenever I went to visit Rosie at Brookstone, she always told me how, first of all, she usually always mentioned how much she loved Jesus and how much she missed church and her church family. But then she would go on and tell me about her children. And she had some really great stories. And she would tell me about her great-grandchildren or her grandchildren. And she had some great stories there. When I would get to my car, I would say to myself, you need to write some of these stories down. And I never did, but she did have really good stories. And I met with Miriam, and Miriam told me a lot of stories. There were two readings that they found in one of Rosie's Bibles, and the first one goes like this. If I should die and leave you here a while, be not like others, sore undone, who keep long vigils by the silent dust and weep. For my sake, turn again to life and smile, nerving your heart and trembling hands to do something to comfort weaker hearts than thine. Complete these dear, unfinished tasks of mine, and it may be that I shall comfort you. And this next one, Rosie actually wrote. It says she wrote it November 2016. O glorious Savior, Son of the Almighty, thou hast loved us, loves us still. Thou hast led us over the highest mountains and through the deepest valleys. Thou hast stayed by our side through sickness and despair. You have been there all the way. Thank you, O glorious Savior, for all thy many blessings. Rosie and her husband were farmers. And when Harold was farming in the field, there was a lot of times he would come in late. And Miriam said that her mom always wanted the family to have supper together. So bedtime was 9 o'clock for at least Miriam, I'm guessing the others. And sometimes it was 8:45 and Harold wasn't home yet. And she would say, we're giving him 10 more minutes and then we're going to eat. And just about always, he made it home and they got to have supper together. When Harold was trucking, they would go to Chicago for cattle. And sometimes Rosie stayed home and she would hear on the radio that there was an accident. So she would try to calculate where they could be at that time. If they had gotten to Chicago and then had left to Chicago, and whether or not their truck, their people, could have been in that accident. Of course, they didn't have phones back then. And it didn't matter who was driving. She always worried until someone got home. And she did that with other people, too. The kids, grandkids going to college. If she heard about a wreck, she would calculate where they might be, and she would pray. And she, again, would worry until she found out everybody was home safely. Rosie led by example. There was a widow in town here in Alpha who had a couple of kids. They lived in a house. She lived on Social Security, and they lived on Mortgage Road. She had a little garden. Rosie had a garden, So Rosie would mention to this widow that she was going to do some planning. So the widow would come and help her do planning. And then when it's time to do the canning, she would mention it to this lady, and she would come help can. And Miriam asked her one time why she always asked for this lady's help when she had Miriam and her sister home to do the, to help. And she said, "I want her to take something home with her, and I don't want her to feel like it's charity." So Miriam said, "You would hear laughter in the kitchen and lots of talking." And when it was time to go home, Rosie would give her some of the canned food they had done, and the lady would say, "Oh, just give me a couple." But Rosie would give her a half or maybe even a third of what they would can, and that would get the woman and her children through the winter. Rosie was in the United Methodist Women, and she loved helping here serve here at church. One time, the United Methodist Women put on a wedding shower. It was in the 60s, and they did a play, and it was a play of a shotgun wedding, and Rosie was in it. They gave the groom, who played the groom, had some black gum on their teeth to show they were, "I'm missing some teeth," but that had to be hilarious. Rosie instilled in her children and in Miriam that when you make a commitment to do something, when you join an organization, you follow it through. Miriam was in Girl Scouts and 4-H, and one year she had to choose one or the other, because they didn't have time to make all the meetings for both organizations. She would even tell them, if you got home late one night and had to get up early in the morning because of a commitment, you did it. And Miriam remembers once that her mom made the commitment to make a cake, and she had to go out and get a part for her dad. So she told Miriam to make the cake. Rosie always showed up to teach Sunday school. And I think Miriam said there was once she didn't, and you knew she was really sick when she didn't come. Miriam said one time her aunt called, and they were having relatives coming through Alpha. And the relatives who called them wanted to know if there was a hotel close by. There was a bad winter storm. And Rosie said, "No, just come here and stay." So it was Christmas Eve, and it was about 1961. So they came and stayed, and Miriam got up to go to the bathroom and saw them and wanted to know who they were. They didn't know these people, but Rosie opened up their house so they would have a place to stay. One day, they were out, Rosie and Harold were out riding horses to check on the cattle. And they came to a creek, and Rosie was ready for that horse to jump over the creek. But instead, the horse just plodded through the water. But when they came back, and Rosie thought he would do the same thing, just plod through the water, oh no, he jumped over the creek. And Rosie landed on the saddle horn, and she had a sore hiney for a couple of weeks. When Rosie's first year of high school, they had orientation, and they were told to bring a bucket and a toothbrush. And they had to go out and clean the sidewalk with the toothbrush. Now, Harold's parents were poor, so he only had the one toothbrush. So he didn't bring a toothbrush. And some of the kids got together, and they were going to prank him. Rosie had a little bitty bucket, but she grabbed someone else's bucket that was big and splashed the water over Harold. They didn't start dating until their senior year. He used to always say what a tough bird Rosie was. "Oh, she is just a tough old bird." Jean remembered when they lived in Scona, and there was a timber behind them, and the timber was really thick, and they were going out to count the cows, And it was so thick that if a calf was laying down, you couldn't see it. So they went out to count, and if they didn't get the right number, they were out there until they found the cows. But Rosie also kept her eye open on the berry bushes. There were gooseberries, raspberries, and blueberries. One day, Gene was upstairs, and when he came down, his mom went up to find there was a fire on the floor. She grabbed his boots and stomped it out. They're not really sure how the fire started, but it was so hot that he had steel-toed boots, and they melted, or I'm not sure what they did, but he couldn't wear them anymore. He couldn't get his feet in, or they hurt his feet. They think he filled his lighter, and as he twirled it, some of it spilled down on the floor. And then there was a time when Ken and Phyllis Kearney, Virgil and Irene Bowden, dressed up for Halloween. And they drove down to an ex-preacher's house. And when the wife came to the door, she screamed and hollered for her husband. Now, they must have been dressed up pretty scary. Miriam said she had a picture, but she couldn't find it. But it'd be really great to see that picture. And the husband had a really big laugh. In the memorials, one of the things you can make your memorial to is the diabetes. Her mother, Rosie's mother, her son Ronnie, and four grandsons all had diabetes. So that's why it was special to Rosie. When Harold and Rosie first got married, Harold got drafted. And you couldn't take your spouse to basic back then. So Rosie's dad, once he was done with basic, Rosie's dad made arrangements for her to go live with him, and he made arrangements for her to follow someone so she wouldn't get lost going to Arkansas. Or when they got to Arkansas, there was flooding. And the other couple went one way, and she went the other way. But she made it to Texas, and once she got to Texas, she let her parents know that she was pregnant. She didn't tell them before she left because they wouldn't let her go. She was sure, so she didn't tell her folks until she got there. Harold got transferred to California, and they had dinky little trailers for the families to live in. They hung out their wash on clotheslines, and people were stealing their clothes. Rosie had a cute outfit. I think there was two kids at the time. Rosie had a cute outfit. It was two pieces. And one piece was hanging out on the line, and someone stole it. So later on that day or the next day, I don't remember for sure which, Rosie hung out the other piece. And she put a note with that piece saying, "The first piece isn't any good without this piece." So she watched to see if she could find out who was stealing it, and she couldn't, but it was gone. When they had home football games here and Gene played, it was here in Alphen, they parked behind where the buses are, and it would snow, and sometimes the snow would get so deep that people would get stuck. So Harold would help those people get out, get unstuck. Kathy Jordan wrote this about Miriam, or about Rosie. "Rosie always had a smile, a laugh, and words of wisdom for me every time I saw her. She was a leader in our church and a kind soul that loved her community. She never said a negative thing. She never had a negative word, but was always upbeat, cheerful, and loving. My life is richer because of Rosie." And then in her walker, she kept this note. And it was from Bob and Jan Bateman. Jan wrote, "Bob and I were driving through the countryside last week. It was harvest time. And I shared with him a piece of my childhood about helping my grandmother prepare and serve this huge meal when there were extra men helping at the farm. While she cooked, I would hunt up the big, long tablecloth and napkins, the ones we used when all the aunts and uncles and cousins came to visit. Make sure everybody had a place at the table and a suitable chair to sit in, keep their glasses filled, and help serve dessert. And, of course, help with cleaning up afterwards. The hardest part of all, for me, was to be courteous, but don't talk too much. Courteous was easy, but not talking too much was a challenge. And Bob wrote, I remember when I was a teenager, I would work for local farmers when they baled hay. My favorite farmer to work for was Harold Meredith. He was always nice to me, and Rosie always fixed a huge meal for all the workers. It was a full meal like roast beef, mashed potatoes, and gravy, vegetables, and best of all, pie for dessert. I think she even had two kinds of pie to choose from. I had to pack my lunch when I worked for any other farmer. Later, when Mom needed help with her checkbook, she wanted me to help her to pay for it. I refused to let her pay me. One day she said, I know what I'm going to do for you. And she arranged for Rosie to make a cherry pie for me every month, and she would pay Rosie for it. What a delightful idea. I agreed, and we had cherry pie for many months after that. Rosie always made the best cherry pie. I got to where I could pick up Rosie's cherry pie by just looking at it whenever the church had a potluck dinner. I will always remember Rosie's cherry pie and the love and respect she and Harold showed for me. Let us pray. God of us all, your love never ends. When all else fails, you still are God. We pray to you for one another in our need and for all anywhere who mourn with us this day. To those who doubt, give light. To those who are weak, strength. To all who have sinned, mercy. To all who sorrow, your peace. Keep true in us the love with which we hold one another. In all our ways we trust you, and to you, with your church on earth and in heaven, we offer honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. The family wanted me to invite you to the luncheon after the service at the cemetery. And if you're not able to go to the cemetery, you can stay and have a cup of coffee. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our dear Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do his will, working among us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.